Friday, the Columbia Broadcasting System, in cooperation with the United States Army and the United States Air Force Recruiting Service, brings you now the new Mysteries and Game program, a weekly half-hour comedy series starring radio's original comedy couple, the Aces. Once again, the strains of Manhattan Serenade introduce the story of Mr. Ace and his wife, Jane. Tonight, Chapter 1, entitled, Jane's brother Paul, who hasn't worked in 12 years, tries to borrow $200 from Mr. Ace, and Mr. Ace says, why don't you go to work? And Paul says, work? Don't use that four-letter word in front of my sister. Or, as Mr. Ace would put it,
am I my brother-in-law's keeper? You won't believe this story, but I'm going to tell it to you exactly as it happened. I'll be with you in just a minute.
You know, America's young men are the biggest, healthiest, best-educated young men in the world. Even so, the standards of today's Army and Air Force are so high that only 60% of these fine men can be accepted when they volunteer. Doesn't that give you a pretty good idea of the type of men that make up today's Army and Air Force? Well, if you need more proof, take a good, long look at the next soldier you see. Neat, clean-cut, resolute. Yes, you can put this in your pipe and smoke it. He's helping to do the most important job there is in America today. Now, Mr. Ace, what was that you were saying?
Oh, well, first I want to say that the leading characters in this story are not fictitious. Very often I wish to heaven we were. Especially Jane's brother, Paul. Although Paul is allergic to work and is the laziest guy I know, I must admit he is obnoxious. Paul never shows it, but I know he hates me.
I never show it, but I hate him.
He can't stand the sight of me.
I can't stand the sight of him.
Behind my back, he calls me names.
Communist.
12 years ago, Paul was in a little automobile accident. He's been collecting $10 a month on a little insurance policy. But if he ever goes to work, they'll stop paying him that big $10 annuity, so he can't work. Paul was lucky enough to have escaped out of the accident alive, and now he wants to be paid for it. That's robbing St. Peter to pay Paul. The one I really feel sorry for, though, is Paul's wife, Arlene. She's been married 10 years and has always been destitute.
I've been married 10 years and have always been destitute.
She never has any clothes.
I never have any clothes.
She's too old to go to work.
I never have any clothes.
She has that snooze luck. How do they live? Well, you've heard of people who live by their wits. Paul lives by his wits. Of course, with him, that's only half living. The other half Jane takes care of. Jane and I are the typical average married couple living in the typical little eastern town called New York City. Population 8 million, give or take one. And if you're going to take one, take my brother-in-law. Or, for that matter, take Jane. When Jane makes up her mind to do something for Paul, she does it.
When I make up my mind to do something for Paul, I do it.
She's completely uninhibited.
I'm completely uninhabited.
And her arguments are unequivocally irrefutable.
Yes, they are.
I should have suspected something the day we got married 15 years ago. The day Paul asked me if he could come along on our honeymoon. And I said, no. And Jane said, oh, let him come along, dear. He's never been on a honeymoon. And I should have suspected something the other night after dinner when Jane and I were sitting around the living room and she gave me her guess who routine. It went something like this.
Well, dear, guess who called me up today?
Rochelle Hudson?
No.
I give up.
My brother Paul.
Oh, how much did he want this time?
Oh, he's fine.
No, I say how much did...
Arlene. Fine, too.
No, Jane, I said...
You know that next week they will have been married 10 years. My, how time flies. It seems like only a year ago they were married only 9 years.
Yeah.
Well, when he told me 10 years, you could have knocked me down with a fender.
Uh-huh.
I said, Paul, you mean to say you've been married to... Now, just a minute, dear. What do you mean, how much did he want? Who said anything about money?
Oh, then he didn't want any money.
Who said he didn't?
Well, which is it?
$200.
Oh, Jane, I'm not going to give it to him. Why doesn't the guy go to work?
Oh, now, dear, you know there are many reasons.
I'd like to hear them.
Well, the third reason is because...
Just a minute, Jane. What happened to win and play?
Beg pardon?
What are the first two reasons?
Well, first, because he was sick last year.
Oh, that excuse again.
You know, he was just about to get a job when he got intestinal flu.
I knew you'd finally come up with the right word.
And besides, like Paul says, what's the dollar worth today? Practically nothing.
Oh, so he's not going to work until the dollar gets back to what it should be worth, huh?
Yes, 57 cents.
Of course, 57 cents.
Well, we talked it over, and Paul decided to come to the office tomorrow morning, I told him.
Jane, I haven't got 200 bucks to throw away.
Are you insinuating that my brother isn't going to pay you back?
Oh, no, of course not. He's as good as gold.
Why, he's as good as the Bank of England.
That's what I mean, yes. As usual, when I get into an argument with Jane about her brother, I ran second and paid $280 to play. Because the next morning when I got to my office, I ought to tell you this, I work in the advertising business. Make a nice living, minus withholding and Social Security. It's a pretty fair job. Of course, Jane always exaggerates my importance there by telling everybody I'm a big cog in the machinery.
He's a big clog in the machinery.
The only thing I can't stand about the job is my secretary, Miss Anderson. Why don't I get rid of her? She's a cousin of Jane's. Twice removed. That is, I removed her twice, but Jane got her job back 3 times. With the score now 3-2 in her favor, Miss Anderson practically runs the office her way.
I practically run the office my way.
She never thinks of me as her boss.
I never think of him as my boss.
She considers me primitive in my business methods and practically a Neanderthal in this atomic age.
She's a schmo.
Oh, she's a doll. D-U-L-L. So I got to my office about 9:30 the next morning, and I asked Miss Anderson if there had been any calls.
Yes, Sam Davis called.
Sam Davis? Who's he? What he want?
He wanted a date for Saturday night.
No, I mean...
I told him I was going to the movie Saturday night with Bill Wilson.
Yes, I know.
So
but...
I gave him Wednesday night. We're going dancing. Sam's an awful good dancer.
Look...
Much better than Bill.
Miss Anderson, Miss Anderson, any sideline calls? I mean, for me, the advertising business, remember?
Let me see. Now, there was somebody. Who was it now?
Isn't that awful? If it comes to you, Miss Anderson, you'll be in touch with me, I'm sure. I'll just go into my office and wait.
Oh, sure. I'll let you know.
Yes, you do that.
Well, there you are.
Oh, fine.
Is that a nice thing to do, keep your brother-in-law waiting?
Miss Anderson, is this the...
Oh, yes, that's it. Your brother-in-law is waiting in your office to see you.
Miss Anderson, take a letter.
A letter?
To China, and don't hurry back.
Well, brother, how's the world treating you?
Not very often.
I haven't seen you in some time. How long has it been?
Oh, about... $25 ago?
$25. Oh,
yes.
It has been 90 days, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. Paul, would you mind taking your overcoat off my desk?
Hmm? Oh, sure, excuse me. Recognize the overcoat?
Yes, I recognize it.
You gave it to me 2 winters ago, remember? Oh. Lucky we're the same size.
Oh, I was born lucky. Look, Paul, Jane tells me you want me to give you $200. Is that right?
Not give. Land. Watch your language.
Sue me. The answer is no.
Oh, now, wait a minute, brother. It isn't for myself I want the 200. It's for Arlene.
For Arlene, yes.
Look, we have a 10th wedding anniversary next Wednesday, and I want to get her something she needs pretty bad.
For $200?
Yeah. I'm getting her a tonsillectomy.
You're going to have your wife's tonsils removed as an anniversary present?
Oh, I'm not. It's something practical.
Something she wouldn't buy for herself, you think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it, yeah. Well, how about it? Let me have the 200?
No.
Well, could you make it 100?
Gonna have one of her tonsils out?
Yeah. No. I could pay 100 down.
And get the rest for me later. Nothing doing. I can't afford it. It's not the principal. It's the money.
But I'm going to pay you back. I keep track of every...
Sorry, Paul. And look, kid, if you have to come to my office and sit around with your feet scratching up my desk, I wish you wouldn't be wearing my shoes. So, With my no ringing in his ears and my overcoat hanging on his back, Paul walked direct from my office to my home to see my wife. In my shoes. Yes, before we look in on this tender little scene, I ought to tell you that, like the typical average family, we happen to live next door to a radio announcer, a fellow named Ken Roberts. Ken is the only celebrity Jane knows, and every time he comes to the house, which is about once a day, Jane gets his autograph. Ken loves it.
I love it. Love is spelled L-O-V-E.
Like all announcers, Ken is always spelling out everything. And he practices all his commercials for Jane. Like, for instance,
this show is brought to you by the Krupner Company, makers of those delicious, tasty, after-shaving lozenges.
He throws all kinds of figures at you.
4 out of 5 doctors have studied medicine.
Makes the rashest promises.
If you're not satisfied, return the unused portion of our product, and the Krupner Company will return the unused portion of your money. The Krupner Company, spelled C-O-M-P-A-N-Y.
So, before Paul got to the house, Ken was visiting with Jane.
Hey, Jane, that's an attractive dress you're wearing today.
You do? Well, thanks. And may I return the compliment and say it's one of my favorites, too.
Yeah, looks swell, Jane.
Where you been, Ken? Long face, no see.
Oh, I've been busy down at the studio, Jane. I'm starting a new show today, sponsored by the Army and the Air Force. I want you to hear me read this commercial. You got a minute?
Oh, sure, Ken. When you read commercials, you send me.
I send you, Jane?
Uh-huh, to the drugstore, to the grocer's. Go ahead, Ken, read it.
Okay.
Hey, are you home?
Oh, it's my brother, Paul. Wait a minute, Ken. Yes, Paul, here we are in here. Hello, Paul.
Sis, I was just over talking to that husband of yours.
Just fine. Oh, well, you remember Ken Roberts, don't you, Paul?
What? Oh, sure. Hiya, Ken.
Hiya, Paul. Paul is spelled P-A-U-L.
Now, Jenny turned me down.
He did?
Yeah, my own brother-in-law wouldn't lend me $200. I've got to have that money, Jane, and you've got to help me.
Well, Paul, you know I'd give you my bottom shirt, but I haven't got $200.
Well, can't you borrow it from somebody? Like, say, a next-door neighbor, for instance?
You mean from Ken?
Ken is spelled N-O.
What kind of a town is this? Isn't there any place a fella can borrow $200?
Friends, do you need money?
Why?
Come to the Confidential Loan Company. You can borrow up to $300 on one signature alone. Every transaction is treated most confidentially.
What's that, Sam?
Well, that's a commercial I do every week. Why don't you go down there and borrow the money?
The Confidential Loan Company. Yes, I never thought of that. How about it, sis? Will you sign my note for me?
Oh, sure, Paul. I'll go down to the loan company with you. Wait for me. I'm just going to go in and put on my mink coat. That's spelled S-K-U-N-K.
Well, I guess I better be going, Paul. I got to get down to the studio. I'm starting that program today. They just sent me this commercial. Here it is. I got to practice this.
Tell me, Ken, do you really enjoy, if you pardon the expression, working?
Well, I'm going to enjoy this one, Paul. There's no spelling in it, but I like to announce it. Just listen to this. Young men, if you're interested in aviation, the United States Air Force has a great plan, tailor-made for you. It's called the Aviation Career Plan. And it boils down to this. If you're a high school graduate, you may choose any one of many exciting aviation specialties, and the Air Force will teach it to you. Yes, you select your own course, whether it's radar, radio, airplane maintenance, or a score of others, and you can be sure before you enlist that you'll get that very course. Visit your nearest recruiting office or Air Force base about this now, men. They'll give you a list of the courses and all the other details. And take it from me, when you complete one of these courses, you'll be on your way to being a full-fledged aviation specialist, ready to go places in the world, either in the Air Force or in civilian life later on. Yes, men, enlistment in the United States Air Force is a mighty good bet for any young man. Check into the Aviation Career Plan right away.
Jane and her brother Paul decided to go to the recruiting office. To the confidential loan company to borrow $200. Because the Air Force is a mighty because I wouldn't lend him the money. All this I didn't know. I had turned Paul down, and I thought that was the end of it. I was living in a fool's paradise. Mighty pretty country, though. Especially up around Lake Marijuana. As the crime was reconstructed for me later, Jane and her brother arrived at the loan company, and Jane was the MC as usual.
How do you do? I'm Mrs. Ames.
How do you do? And what may I do for you, madam?
We'd like to see some money, please.
I beg your pardon?
We'd like to see some of that money you advertised to lend. What is your name?
Seesum.
How do you do, Mrs. Seesum?
How do you do?
And this is my brother, Paul Sherwood. This is Mr. Seesum, Paul.
How do you do, Mr. Seesum? No, I'm Mr. Wilkerson.
You said Seesum.
No, you said Seesum.
No, Mr. Seesum. I said, what is your name?
My name is Wilkerson.
How do you do? I'm still Mrs. A.
How do you do?
And this is still my brother, Paul Sherwood.
How do you still? Now, did you say you wanted to borrow some money?
Please, Mr. Seesum, not so long. It says confidential. Are you the confidence man I have to see?
I am Mr. Wilkerson in charge of law. Half chairs, please.
Thank you. Sit down, Paul.
Okay, dear. Now, is this your first loan with our company, Mrs. A?
Yes, it is.
Oh.
Why, your advertisement doesn't say experience necessary.
No, I mean, have you an established credit here? What is your full name, please?
Jane Ace. Mrs. Jane Ace.
Mrs. Jane Ace.
How do you do?
How do you do? I'm Mr. Wilson.
Yes, we've met. And this is my brother, Paul Sherwood.
How do you do, Mr. Seesum? I've met your brother, and my name isn't Seesum. It's Wilkerson. Now, how much money do you want to borrow, Mrs. Ace?
Please, Mr. Wilkerson, if you're going to keep talking that lot, I'd rather see Mr. Seesum.
There is no Mr. Seesum. I lend the money. Now, how much do you want?
$212.75.
$212.75?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's rather an odd amount, isn't it?
Well, you see, the $200 is for me. I'm getting my wife a tonsillectomy for an anniversary gift.
Yes, and on the way down here, I saw a sale on hats for $12.75, so I thought we might as well kill two birds with one lung, you see? Well, Mr. Wilkerson... Or Mr. Seesum, as the case may be?
Just a minute. You, sir.
Yes?
You're getting your wife a tonsillectomy as an anniversary gift?
That's right. You see, I'm not working right now, and this money will come in pretty handy.
And I'm going to sign the note for him.
Oh, I see. He isn't working. And you, what is your business, Mrs. A?
Sister to the defendant.
What's that?
I'm his sister, but I haven't got any money to lend him.
Well, then what good is your signature on a note?
Well, sure. Well, I don't know who would sign for a person of his own sister wouldn't. And if I'm wrong, I'm not far from it.
You're what?
Well, doesn't it to you?
Yes. No. Let me see what happened here. Now, I was sitting here in my office quietly reading Dick Tracy when she came in and said he wanted to borrow $212.75, and he has no job and she has no security.
That's it. Now you've got it.
Yes. Do you have any charge accounts in any of the stores, Mrs. A?
Oh, sure, but I wouldn't want them to know about borrowing this money.
Well, just a minute. I'll call upstairs and check on your credit.
Yes, Martin speaking. Over.
Oh, Martin, this is Wilkerson. I have a Mrs. Jane Ace here who wants to borrow $212.75. Will you check her credit for me?
Mrs. Jane Ace wants to borrow $212.75. Over.
Fine confidential.
That's right, Martin. $212.75.
That's a rather odd amount, isn't it? Over.
Well, you see, $200 is for a tonsillectomy her brother is giving his wife for a wedding anniversary.
Testing, 1-2. Testing, 1-2. Sounded like you said he's giving her a tonsillectomy for a wedding anniversary. Over.
That's right. Check it, will you, Martin?
Will do.
Roger.
Mr. Wilkerson, was that coast to coast?
What? No. That's our efficient credit system.
Fine.
It'll take only a minute. While we're waiting, you can look over this application.
Thank you.
And here are the weekly rates. For a loan of $212.75, you will have to pay back $4.40 a week for 1 year.
$4.40 a week? That's reasonable.
Oh, there's Martin again.
I guess this is a repeat broadcast of the West Coast.
Yes, Martin.
Mrs. Ace is NG. All charge accounts are in her husband's name. He's okay. Over.
Roger. Thanks, Martin. Well, I'm sorry, Mrs. Ace. You're NG.
What's that? Not guilty?
Yes. No! No, it means your signature is not acceptable. But if your husband will sign this note, we'll make the loan. Now, you take that application and have him sign it.
Well, okay, I guess we'll have to do it, Paul.
But he'll never sign that note, Jane.
Well, just leave it to your Uncle Dulcie. We'll see you later, Mrs. Seesum.
My name is Wilkerson.
How do you do?
How do you do?
And this is my brother.
Yes, I've met your brother, Mr. Seesum.
I'm not Seesum. You said you were Seesum.
No!
No?
Now, just a minute. Everybody cool down. When you first walked in here, I thought you said Seesum. And you thought I was saying I'm Mr. Seesum, but I'm Wilkerson. That's how the whole thing started. Now, isn't that clear, Mrs. Ace?
Oh, I get it now. You see the mistake we made, Paul.
Yeah, let's go, Jane.
Yeah, let's go. Well, see you later, Mr. Seesum.
Oh, murder!
As Jane and Paul sailed gracefully out of the confidential loan company, they waved a fond aloha to Mr. Wilkerson, sinking slowly in the west. Now, if you were a betting man, wouldn't you give 100 to 1 that I wouldn't sign that note? Save your money. A few minutes before Jane and her brother got to my office, I had a visit from my boss. That would be Mr. J.K. Norris of Dutton, Sutton, Mutton, and Norris. I don't know how he got in there. J.K. talks like a copybook. He believes a man's best friend is his motto.
Don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today.
He's been married 3 times.
If at first you don't succeed, try again.
But in spite of his corny talk, I like J.K. He's a lonely man. He has no children.
If at first you don't succeed...
Yes. As I was saying, just before Jane and Paul got to my office, Mr. Norris had come rushing in, quite pleased with an idea I had thought up for a new account we were going to advertise.
Mr. H., my congratulations on that advertising campaign for our new account, the Confidential Loan Company.
Oh, well, thank you, Mr.
I knew when you and Thompson got together, you'd turn out a great campaign. Two heads are better than one, I always say.
Oh, but I did this one myself, Mr. Norris.
Yourself?
Yeah.
Good work, Mr. H. Too many cooks spoil the broth, I always say.
Yeah. Yes, you do.
By the way, the confidential loan people are very concerned about the type of man we're assigning to their account. They want to be sure that you've never signed a note over there on a loan or borrowed money.
Oh, no, I never.
Good, neither a borrower nor a lender be, I always say.
Mm-hmm.
We had one man here who borrowed money from them and never paid it back. Speculated in the stock market. You're not speculating, are you? I heard a rumor you were.
Oh, there's not a grain of truth in it.
That's good. A fool and his money are soon parted, I always say.
Hello, dear.
Oh, hello, Jane, I always say.
Well, Mrs. A.
Hello, Mr. Norris.
You're just in time, Mrs. A.
Just fine. This is my brother Paul, Mr. Norris.
How do you do?
Glad to meet you, Mr. Norris.
Mrs. Ace, I was just congratulating your husband on a fine job he did on one of our accounts.
Oh, it was nothing, really.
Nothing, he says. Don't let his modesty fool you, Mrs. Ace.
All right.
I hope you're as proud of him as I am, Mrs. Ace.
Oh, you are.
Once again, congratulations, Mr. Ace.
Well, thanks, but really...
Congratulations, dear.
Well, thanks, Jane.
This campaign will make you famous in advertising circles, Mr. Oh. Ace. Now, how about that, Mrs. Ace? Your husband's a celebrity.
Oh, now, please.
Oh, a celebrity. Oh, dear, I'm so proud of you. Why, it's like having a movie star in the family.
A movie star? I suppose you'll be asking me for my autograph next.
Autograph? Yeah, that's an idea. Give me your autograph, dear.
Oh, now, Jane, that's carrying a joke too far.
But, dear, you're a celebrity.
Oh, I know I am.
Go ahead, Mr. Ace. Give your wife your autograph.
But, Mr. Norris, it's embarrassing.
Here you are, dear, on this piece of paper. Right here. Here's your pen.
Oh, I feel kind of idiotic, but if you insist. What is this paper?
Go ahead. Sign your name.
All right. Here you are. This is kind of silly. Autographed to my own wife.
That's it. Thanks, dear. Give me that.
Nice work, kid.
What is that paper you gave me?
Well, Mrs. Ace, let's clear out and leave the big man to his own thoughts. Confidentially, I think he wants to be alone.
Yeah, that's exactly where I'm going. Come on, Paul. See you later, dear.
Well, all I can say in defense of my simpering self is that I have a good alibi. I'm stupid. And I never would have known I even signed a thing if something hadn't happened a week later. Jane and I were sitting around the living room after dinner, and I was doing a little bragging. Jane, remember that advertising campaign Mr. Norris congratulated me on about a week ago? He gave me a $500 bonus today. Pretty good, huh?
Yes, dear.
Well, is that the most enthusiasm you can work up? I thought at least you'd cheer.
Yippee, dear.
Well, thanks, if you can spare that. Maybe this will brighten you up, though. I'm going to take 200 as a bonus and give it to Paul. Arlene does have to have her tonsils out, and as long as
Paul got that money already.
Where?
Last week.
No, I say where.
But I'll tell you what you can do.
I say, where did Paul get...
If you want to do somebody a favor, how about increasing my allowance?
Where did Paul get the... increase your allowance? How much?
$4.40 a week.
$4.40? How did you arrive at that round figure?
Well, I might as well get this off my chin.
Okay, start chinning.
I'll begin at the beginning.
Yes, you do that, Jane. And come to the point.
I'll make it short and sappy.
That, yes.
Remember last week when I came to your office and you were a celebrity and you signed your autograph on a piece of paper I gave you?
Fine celebrity, yes.
Well, that day you opened a charge account at the confidential loan company.
Oh, no.
Paul borrowed $200 and you autographed the note.
Oh, no, Jane.
That's the price of fame, dear.
Oh, no, not the confidential.
And today they called up that Paul missed the first payment, $4.40.
And he's going to miss every other payment, and I'm going to have to make them good.
I should say you won't. What kind of wife do you think I am? I got you into this, and I'm going to make it good myself. I'll pay it out of my allowance. All you have to do is raise my allowance $4.40 a week.
Look, Ponzi, I don't even mind the money now, but when the confidential loan company finds out I signed that note, they'll cancel their advertising account.
Oh, no, they won't, dear. When he saw your signature, he asked me if you were in the advertising business, and I said yes. And he laughed and said he was glad to have somebody like you handling their advertising.
Glad?
He said he only wished all the other signers they had would be as happy to sign a note as you were.
Well, who told him I was happy?
Well, he could tell the way you signed it.
What?
He said this is the first time in his experience that a co-signer ever signed a note, sincerely yours with all my love.
Isn't that awful?
In just a moment, we'll tell you about next week's chapter 2 in the story of Mr. Ace and Jane. Remember this, young men. There's no finer career than an Army Air Force career. It offers you a continuing education, the chance to learn a valuable technical skill, the opportunity to see the world, which is a broad education in itself. Now, let's look at the practical side, too. Army and Air Force pay, with its extra benefits and allowances, is better than average civilian pay. On top of that, there's retirement pay that will leave you sitting pretty all your life. So drop in at your recruiting station nearest you and get the rest of this important story. You will be mighty glad you did. Chapter 2, entitled, Jane Complains Because Mr. Ace Forgot to Send Her Flowers on Their 15th and a Half Wedding Anniversary, and Mr. Ace says he didn't think the halves were important, and Jane says they are in football, which leads to quite a scrimmage, and Mr. Ace is thrown for a loss on his own end zone. Or, as Mr. Ace puts it, Michigan 49, ACE nothing. Good night.
Me too.
Mr. Ace and Jane was written by Goodman Ace. Original music was conducted by Morris Durkin. In the supporting cast tonight were Everett Sloan as Mr. Wilkerson, Leon Janney as Brother Paul, Eric Dresser as Mr. Norton, Tecla Centra as Arlene, Frank Butler as Martin, Lawrence Robinson as Miss Anderson, and this is Ken Roberts announcing that you may hear this program again next week at this same time over CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.